This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر.
So to conclude inshallah ta'ala, we want to go over some of the common mistakes that people make on Laylatul Qadr, and also what is it that we should do on Laylatul or seeking out Laylatul Qadr. From the most common mistakes, or from the most common mistakes, is being heedless. In other words, negligence. Not recognizing the virtue of this night and not really seeking it out. If you happen to pray, then you pray, and if you don't, then it's okay. And this type of attitude, this type of approach. So, like we mentioned before, is like basically a person is telling Allah that really I'm fine. I don't need your mercy. Yani, when that attitude is taken towards Laylatul Qadr, and I recognize that not everyone has the blessing and the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be in Mecca or Medina. Not everyone has that opportunity. Yani here, walillah alhamd, it is made easy for us to seek out Laylatul Qadr. People are making itikaf. The Muslims are standing up 3 hours in prayer. So if it's made easy, if you will, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But some of you may not be here for the entire 10. You may have to go back to your country. Your country may not be the land of the Muslims. People may not recognize or appreciate Laylatul Qadr. But you have to recognize it and appreciate it. So even if you have to go to work the next morning, take a portion of the night and dedicate it to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there were any 10 days out of the year that a person should take as vacation, if they have a chance to choose, it's not for your anniversary, take your wife to some island. No, it is to establish something that you can have when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the time. These 10 nights, there are no other 10 nights like them in the year. So if you have the ability, you're your own boss, then change your work schedule in those 10 days. Go to work a little later so that you can get some sleep after Fajr, for example. Because it is the night that is important here. It is the night when it becomes Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr is not going to be in the daytime. It's not called Yawm al-Qadr. It's not called the day of Qadr, it's called Laylatul Qadr. And the night is short. It's only 9 hours, in some places much shorter than that. In Sweden and other countries, it's only 3 hours, 4 hours. So the night is short. Dedicate that time to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and adjust your schedule the same way that you would adjust your schedule for anything else that is important to you. Anything else that's important to you, you adjust your schedule. If you're not your own boss, you try to figure out a way to get off of work early that day. Man, I come in late. I have a doctor's appointment. Anything that a person... For a doctor's appointment, people go to work late and they leave work early. For seeking out Laylatul Qadr, we've become heedless and negligent of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the one who worships Him in that night. And so the same way that we look at other times as being special, whether that is permissible or impermissible is beside the point. The same way that we dedicate other days of the year, what about these 10? We have to have a different routine. We have to. Even if your routine is set for you, meaning you might be a doctor on call, you might be anything. You have to change your routine. Change when you sleep. Change something about your schedule so that you take advantage of this night. Not doing so is one of the greatest mistakes that a Muslim can make. The second thing is that many people have invented specific practices for Laylatul Qadr. their own type of group dhikr, the own manner of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making up that if you say this 70 times on Laylatul Qadr, then you will be removed 1,000 years from the hellfire, and all types of things that people have invented. Do not insult the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't make up your own way to worship Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to teach us how to worship Allah. This is what he was sent for. He was sent with revelation from the one who created us so that we know how to worship Allah. وَقَدْ بَلَّغَ الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينُ. He was the one, he conveyed the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who comes now, they make up their own way to worship Allah. Things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not instruct us with. Then they either say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't teach us enough, and I have my own way. I have my own connection with Allah, my own way of figuring out how to worship Him. Or that Allah wanted us to worship Him in a certain way and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not convey that. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu bid'atin dalalah." That every innovation is dalalah, is astray, it is a heresy. Because it's insulting to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And a lot of people think that, no, I'm just doing something good. I'm encouraging the people to do things that are good. They make up virtues about surahs in the Quran. Whoever reads this surah in the Quran, then he will have this. And they think that, yeah, I'm getting the people to read the Quran more. That's an insult to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we should be careful about that. We should be careful not to invent anything in this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not convey to us. The third mistake that is done in these last 10 in general when seeking Laylatul Qadr is over socializing. It's not a time for parties, it's not a time for playing, it's not a time for talking, it's not a time for Facebook, Twitter, or any of these other things that they have invented to distract us. And not that it's an invention, not that there's a conspiracy to distract the Muslims from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is the reality. It is what has happened. It is what has happened. And we should never underestimate the makr of shaytan, yani his plots and his plans. So, I mean, the reality is that there's no harm in a minimal amount of socializing. Obviously, you have to work. There has to be some degree of socializing. If you have a family, there's a degree of socializing. You should be extra diligent in fulfilling your parents' needs in these nights, because that is one of the greatest deeds of bir, yani righteousness, that a person can do. Alright? But this is not the time for socializing. If you do invite people, for example, for iftar, yani for them to break fast at your house, then after you break fast, that's it. Disperse. Go to the masjid. If you are making itikaf is not a time for visiting. Itikaf is a time for you to be in seclusion, for you to be alone, for you to enjoy the companionship of Ar-Rahman, and for you to prepare for a day when you will be alone. This is what itikaf is about. You die alone, you are buried alone, you are resurrected alone, you stand in front of Allah Azza wa Jal alone. And you need to prepare for that. You need some solitary confinement where you restrict yourself to a certain place in the masjid, not to be visited by others and not to visit others in the masjid, but you restrict yourself to that. And you dedicate yourself to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you feel the feeling of being alone. And you recognize that you will be alone. That day is inevitable. And the preparation for that day starts now. And even for those who cannot make i'tikaf because of whatever previous schedules they have, or whatever they may have to do, most people don't have to work on the weekends. So make i'tikaf on the weekend. Go, even if you cannot make i'tikaf, take long periods of time where you are in seclusion in the masjid, by yourself. If you can stay in the masjid from dhuhr until after qiyam, for example, if that's possible, do so. Do something where you are going to disconnect, if you will, from everyone else. And have a time where it's solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one of the other mistakes that is common in the last 10, is that there's over-socializing. Iftar parties and these type of things like that. The fourth thing, and I'm trying to wrap it up inshallah ta'ala, but these are very important points and I don't know if we'll have the opportunity to address them again. The fourth thing is engaging in anything that is haram. That is a very short period of time, Laylatul Qadr, for all 10 nights. It is very, very possible and easy for the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for to leave off all haram. You should never have recorded on your deeds that there was something that you did that was haram on Laylatul Qadr. Because there's no time. There's no time to do all of the things that we should be doing. Not to mention to include something that we should not be doing. So if you have the affliction of, if you are tested with listening to music or something like that, this is not the time for that. Leave that. And if you feel like you just have to listen to something, listen to the Quran. This is not the time to watch TV. At all. Period. It's not the time for that. Some people just say, well, it's just the news. It's just the news. You can catch up on the news in the morning if you have to. Maybe your job depends on it. You can catch up on that after Fajr. But you can never catch up on Laylatul Qadr. If it comes and it goes, it's gone. So it's not time for that. Maghrib to Fajr, it's not time for that. And some people say it's just the news, and then the news anchor is someone who causes him fitna. Maybe she's young and she's beautiful, and he's watching it with the excuse that it's just the news. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to lower our gaze. And it is that that leads to other things. Wallahu al-musta'an. The last thing that I mentioned, inshallah ta'ala, as it relates to mistakes, and then we're going to talk about what we should do. Now we know what we shouldn't do, let's look at what we should do. The last thing that we should not do, or that is commonplace, and not that it's something that's terrible, but we should recognize a mistake. Some people, after praying witr, they say astaghfirullah, 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 like they do for a fard salat. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after witr, he would say, Subhan al-Malik al-Quddus, Subhan al-Malik al-Quddus, Subhan al-Malik al-Quddus, Rabb al-Malaikati wal-Ruh. And notice al-Malaika and the Ruh, like in Surah Al-Qadr. Tanazzalu al-Malaikati wal-Ruh fiha. Tayyib. Anyway, Akhwan, those are some of the things that we should avoid. As for the things that we should do, then the first thing is not something specific to Laylatul Qadr, but it is something that we should be extra cognizant of in these last 10 nights. And that is to take a step back and evaluate our lives. Most of the time we're so busy in the rest of the year. We're running up and down, to and fro, stuck in traffic, going to work, having to do this. We're so busy, even children. Young children, 8 years old, can you do this? No, I'm busy right now. Because of the way that things have been scheduled, that people find themselves always busy. Ana mashghool. Huh? I'm busy. The first thing that you need to do is just take a step back. Take a breather, take a time out, and reevaluate. Reevaluate what things are really important to you. And what things can take a go to the side, at least for a little while. So reprioritize and refocus. Dealing with these last 10 nights of Ramadan, and especially seeking out Laylatul Qadr. So what I'll mention, inshallah ta'ala, for those who are seeking out Laylatul Qadr, is to be extra diligent in protecting and preserving the salawat, the prayers in jama'ah. Doing your best to pray in jama'ah. And if you live close to a masjid, then you don't have an excuse. And if you're making itikaf, then you really don't have an excuse. But some people make itikaf are late for salat, which is a contradiction because of the fact that they're not taking advantage of the time properly. And so they sleep all the way up until their adhan. If you do that in any of these masajid, Masjid al-Nabawi, al-Masjid al-Haram. If you wake up at the adhan, you can forget praying salat with the jama'ah, because the bathrooms are going to be crowded and these type of things. But the point is, wherever you may be on the face of the earth, alhamdulillah, in general there are masajid. So do your best to pray in the masjid. And if you're seeking out Laylatul Qadr in these last 10 nights, then especially Isha and Fajr. Especially Isha and Fajr. Because the person who prays Isha in Jama'ah, it is as if he has prayed the half of the night. And the person who prays Fajr in Jama'ah, then it is as if he has completed the entire night. Multiply that for 1,000 months. And this is the virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from His bounty. He gives it to whom He wills. So be extra diligent in protecting the salah, because there is nothing that you can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with than that which He has made obligatory upon you. So don't strive. We're going to strive to pray Qiyam in the masjid. 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, but you miss Salatul Isha at the masjid. This is contradictory, and this is not understanding the fiqh of how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing is Qiyam itself, yani praying during the night, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in that hadith, man qama laylatul qadr, yani whoever stands in Laylatul Qadr. So the most specific ibadah that can be done on Laylatul Qadr is the salah itself. The third thing that I'm going to recommend is that you try to feed a fasting person every night in these last 10, and hopefully you'll do that. It'll be you will get that reward on Laylatul Qadr, inshallah ta'ala, because the one who feeds a fasting person has the reward of the one who has fasted without anything being diminished from the reward of the fasting person. So just imagine that being multiplied by 1,000 months. And that is actually at night, because once the person breaks the fast, it's after Maghrib. So that's at night. And try to give charity each night, either to your local masjid, for example, or to poor people, or wherever you feel that your charity is most, that's going to be used most correctly. So these are some of the things that can be done on Laylatul Qadr, along with reading the Quran, making dua as much as possible, making istighfar. And as it relates to dua, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she said, do you see if I witness Laylatul Qadr, or if I witness Laylatul Qadr, ma aqulu fiha? Notice this. She said, what should I say in it? What should I say in Laylatul Qadr? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Quli Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbu al-afwa fa'afu anni. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbu al-afwa fa'afu anni. And this hadith has been collected by An-Nasa'i wa Tirmidhi ibn Majah and Imam Ahmad. It's declared authentic, or graded as authentic, by At-Tirmidhi and Al-Hakim, and other scholars of hadith have graded it to be authentic as well. This hadith has a lot of benefits in it. And I think that we should actually stop at it for a second and just look at the meanings of this hadith. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni, because this is what we should be saying the most when it comes to dua. Because we also see that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha didn't ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what should I do in it? What should I do? She said, what should I say? Ma aqulu fiha. Which shows that the companions understood that this was a time to make a lot of dua. This is what we understand from this hadith. That they understood that this was a time to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of making dua to Him. And then that best dua is the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught to Aisha. Because if there had been a better dua, he would have taught her a better dua. But what is the meaning of this dua? Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. This hadith has a lot of significance as it relates to Laylatul Qadr. And we'll mention it, because this is going to be the last thing that we talk about as it relates to the things that we should be doing on Laylatul Qadr. So let's just go back over it quickly to make sure that we protect the salat. Our obligatory salah, especially Isha and Fajr in the masjid. Also, salah in general, Qiyam. The third thing is reading the Quran as much as possible. The fourth thing is making dua and istighfar and dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the fifth and sixth thing is charity to whatever causes that you believe are worthy, and also trying to feed a fasting person yani in those last 10 nights. So those are the things that we already mentioned. As it relates to dua, then the best dua is this dua. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. And the reason why it is so significant is because Allah Azza wa Jal is afu. And He's mentioned this in many ayat in the Quran. And He's mentioned, كان الله عفوا غفورا وعفو عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا. So there's a difference between المغفرة or forgiveness and العفو, which we're going to translate as pardoning. And due to the limit of the time, because this dua actually deserves its own day, it deserves its own hour by itself. But due to time limitations, I'll summarize it as best as possible. Al-ghufran, when someone forgives something, okay, it is as, they cover it up. As-satr, yani it's covered. So it's not going to be exposed. So when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you of your sins, that is what you are asking Him. You're asking Him to not expose those sins, to cover it up, to cover up those sins for you. And some of the scholars say that if you mention yani that by itself, then it encompasses al-afu, and if you mention afu by itself, it encompasses ghufran. But anyway, the point here is that al-afu, what is al-afu? To pardon. To pardon is from al-mahu, meaning it's erased, as if it never existed in the first place. So when you ask Allah, Allahumma innaka afuun, you are the one who pardons. Tuhibbul afwa, you love pardoning. And what is the evidence in the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the people of taqwa? He said, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضَ وَالْعَفِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Those who repress their anger, and those who pardon the people. Yani people may have done them wrong, they pardon them. They act like it didn't even happen. And they continue with life as if it didn't even happen. Allah loves that quality in the believer. And that is one of His qualities that He has for Himself, in a manner that is befitting His majesty, in a manner that we could never understand how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardons His servants. تُحِبُّ الْعَفْوَ فَعْفُ عَنِّي. So pardon me. And this has a number of significant aspects to it. One of the most important is that a person may, because of the striving that they are doing in Ramadan in general, the fact that they have fasted those first 20 days and stood in Taraweeh and they have given sadaqah, and they have, a person may become deceived by his own deeds and be afflicted with self-admiration, may believe that he has reached the level of the angels and beyond because of how pure he is in this month of Ramadan, and how much forgiveness he has sought, and how he really feels like he's on another level now of piety. Don't be confused and don't be deluded by shaitan into believing that you have attained some level with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And keep saying, Ya Siddiqa bint Siddiq, the woman whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said would, he already guaranteed that she was from the people of paradise, but he told her to say, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. Oh Allah, indeed you are the one who pardons, you love pardoning, so pardon me. Overlook, totally erase my sins and my evil deeds, so that a person never thinks that they've made it to that level. Her father Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the best of this ummah after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the best man after the prophets, went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asked him, what dua should I make in the salat? Teach me a dua to make in the salat. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught him this dua. Ajeeb. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi dhulman kathira wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant faghfir li maghfiratan min indik warhamni innaka antal ghafur rahim. Oh Allah, I have severely oppressed myself. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. This is the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught him to make. Inni zalamtu nafsi dhulman kathira, I have severely oppressed myself. وَلَا يَغْفِرُ الدُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتِ, and there is no one that forgives sins except for you. فَغْفِرْ لِي مَغْفِرَةً مِنْ عِنْدِكِ وَارْحَمْنِي, so forgive me, a forgiveness that comes from you, and have mercy on me, because you are الغفور الرحيم. Subhanallah. So if this is the dua that the Prophet ﷺ taught Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and then the dua that he taught Aisha, who was from amongst the best of women, and some say that she was the best of the women, and some say that it was Khadija, and some say Fatima. The point is, Ahlul Sunnah agree that these three women were the best of the Sahabiyat: Khadija, Aisha, and Fatima radiallahu anhu. But this is the dua that the Prophet ﷺ taught one of the best of women ever to walk planet Earth. Then how much more should we strive in making this dua? And Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala said that this dua should be made especially in sujood. So when those long sujood come, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni, and repeat it and think about it and cry. Cry because you know that you have shortcomings, and you know that you need Allah to pardon, and you know that if Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't pardon you, then there is no pardon, and that you'll have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Whoever Ramadan comes to and is not forgiven, then may Allah distance him. This is what Jibril says. So we need to try our best to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness in this month, and not be deceived by the good deeds that we do, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَنْ يَدْخُلَ أَحَدٌ الْجَنَّةَ بِعَمَلِهِ, none of you will enter Jannah بِعَمَلِهِ. What does that mean? By his deeds. Meaning that your deeds do not, yani what we say is, for example, they say, how much is this? Huh? In Arabic, بِكَمْ, huh? بِرِيَلَيْنِ, it is 2 riyals. Yani, in exchange for this, I will give you this. None of you will get Jannah in exchange for his deeds, because Jannah is too valuable and your deeds mean nothing. The deeds that we do, don't even allow us to deserve any of these favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. The ability to breathe, to just go without having a mask on our faces. Go visit people in the hospital and see how difficult it is for them to breathe. The ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you to be able to breathe, to be able to hear, to be able to see. These deeds that we do don't even add up to the blessings that we already have. Not to mention Jannah. So there is no fair exchange here. So they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, and not even you will enter Jannah solely because of his deeds. And everything that we do, from wudu, from salat, from seeking out Laylat, all of that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is rewarded for. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, الدَّالُ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ كَفَاعِلِ, the one who guides to good is like the one who has done it. And there is no good that anyone is guided to except that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam guided them to that, either by way of them reading the hadith directly or by someone who knew the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and was able to guide them to that. So every good deed that a Muslim does, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is rewarded for. Even he will not enter Jannah solely because of his good deeds. إِلَّا يَتَغَمَّدَنِ اللَّهِ بِرَحْمَتِهِ, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala envelops me in his mercy. And so the person enters Jannah because Allah Azza wa Jalla had mercy on them. And this is what we need to understand from this hadith. Allahumma innaka afoon tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. Oh Allah, you are al-afu. You love for people to pardon, so pardon me. Because that's the way we enter into Jannah. We enter by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no contradiction between that and the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, udukhulul jannah bima kuntum ta'malun. For example, enter Jannah because of what you used to do. Because the deeds are a cause to gain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. And through that mercy, we enter into al-Jannah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the people of Jannah and to save us from the hellfire. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst the people who stand on Laylatul Qadr, imanan wa ihtisaba. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. If there are any questions, we'll take them now for the next 5 minutes. And then I'll sit on the side and answer any other questions because he needs to stop taping in 5 minutes. Yes. The question is, what's better, to pray tahajjud in my home or to pray it here in a masjid and nabawi? And the answer to that is that the virtue, and this is a qaida or a principle of worship that we should all understand, the virtue that is related to the ibadah itself takes precedence over the virtue that is related to the place of the ibadah. So a person needs to look at where they find more khushu' in their salat. If you find that the salat that you make in your home in tahajjud, for example, a person may be from the people of the Qur'an, meaning that they always recite the Qur'an. They teach other people the Qur'an. They learned the Qur'an when they were young. They have the Qur'an, for example. And for them, and they pray tahajjud on a regular basis. And for them, when they pray tahajjud in their home, they're going to have more khushu'. They're going to feel more ikhlas. Then it is better for that person to pray in his home. It's better for him to pray tahajjud in his home. But many people don't have that. They're not going to pray as much, for example, as they would pray here in the Masjid al-Nabawi. Number one, so they're going to only pray with a small portion of the Quran. They're not going to pray as long. So they're not going to make sujood as long and ruku' as long. Likewise, the virtue of praying in jama'ah for these type of things with the qunut of the imam and the imam making dua and everybody saying ameen has a virtue in and of itself. And then there's the virtue of praying in the Prophet's masjid, which the salat here is like 1,000 salat in any other place. With that being said, the person has to look at where his heart is and where he feels more comfortable in his ibadah. Allahu a'lam. Yes, but you have to speak up, Shaykh. Does that what?
What is tahajjud? What is the difference between tahajjud and qiyam al-layl?
The question is, what is the difference between tahajjud and qiyam al-layl? The answer to that question is that anything that is prayed after Salatul Isha is considered to be from qiyam al-layl. It's given different names in Ramadan. Taraweeh was specific to Ramadan because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed us to pray, or the Prophet himself alayhi salatu wasallam would pray two rakats and two rakats, yani four, and then he would rest, as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentioned. And because of that rest and then starting back up, the prayer itself was called Taraweeh because there is a resting period. And then the prayer that was done directly after Salatul Isha in the masjids of the Muslims from the time of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum up until today, that prayer was called Taraweeh. During the time of the Tabi'een, they started to come back at night, and that practice was known as Ta'qib. And there's a difference of opinion amongst the scholars as to whether that practice is desirable or not. But the point is that it's done here, and many of the majority of the fuqaha consider that to be something that is good. And so they would come back. That coming back was known as Qiyam al-Layl, and that's why they call it Qiyam al-Layl. Tahajjud is something that is done, the name is specifically given to the salat that is done after someone has already slept. So if someone has slept and then they wake up and they pray at night, then that is known as tahajjud. If they did not go to sleep, then it is incorrect to call it tahajjud. But anything, it's all the same prayer. It is the night prayer. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about how to pray at night, he says, Salatul layli mathna mathna, that the night prayer is two by two. So no matter when a person prays it, that's how they should pray. And don't, yani the names don't really matter. Allahu a'lam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.